Mr. Ambassador, my first question is, on the eve of April 24, Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan issued a message on the events of 1915 in several languages. Who was the message addressed to?
The message was addressed first and foremost to the Armenian population, and to the Armenian population worldwide, not only in Turkey and Armenia, but everywhere in the world. This was the first time that a Turkish Prime Minister addressed on this issue directly the Armenian population. The message was truly of historic nature. You know that, I mean, of course, there have been several contacts between the Turkish and Armenian authorities. So, and we also have exchanged views maybe through media and intermediaries. But that was the first time a Turkish prime minister decided to address the Armenian population directly and tell them how we, you know, feel about the events of 1915. So that was the really historic nature of the message. But of course, I think the, particularly the message was addressed to those who feel for their beloved ones that lost their lives in the events of 1915 during the relocation. And I think there were some very key messages about that, that we recognize the inhumane consequences of the relocation of 1915. We share the grief and pain and suffering of the Armenian population as a whole, and that Prime Minister expressed condolences to the children and grandchildren of those who lost their lives during those events. So that also was particularly an audience of target audience of the message. But of course, finally, I think the message was also addressed to those who want a better future for Armenia, for Turkey, for the people of this region. The message, of course, as you know, stressed our commonalities, our special relations dating back to history. And based on this very special bondage, the message focused on future, you know, I mean, encouraged us to work together to build a better and common future. So that was more or less the meaning and the audience of the message.
But why was Erdogan's message issued now?
Why not? You know, I don't know whether there was any specific reason for that. But I think the Prime Minister realized that, you know, not addressing the Armenian population directly was giving certain third parties and circles to exploit the relationship between us, to exploit this issue from their own hands. So I think he thought that, I mean, this is the time now for him to address the Armenian population directly and tell them what we stand for, what we think about our past, about our present, but more importantly, about our common future. So I don't see that there was a specific reason. Maybe it's because, of course, I mean, the more we don't have this direct communication, the more maybe we are, you know, basing our relationship based on misreflections, misunderstandings, and prejudices. So maybe the Prime Minister decided to somewhat dispel these considerations and address the Armenian population directly. And I think it was well received worldwide. The reason why on the 23rd, because of course on the 24th of April, we know that, I mean, the Armenians remember the events of 1915 worldwide. So I think it was also somewhat coordinated. It was somewhat thought that, I mean, it would be better to do such a communication right before April 24, when everyone was focusing and trying to remember what has happened in 1915. So that was particularly the reason why it was on the 23rd of April. But other than that, I think in terms of a general timing, why this year and why not the previous year, I think the Prime Minister has seen how this, you know, I mean, lack of direct communication was exploited by certain parties, certain third parties. I think he needed that. He thought that, I mean, this is the time to do so.
Yeah. Speaking on U.S. broadcaster PBS, Prime Minister Erdogan declared that the fact of Armenians living in Turkey today is a proof that there was no genocide. Does the presence of Jews in Germany prove there was no Holocaust?
I don't think it's good to draw parallels between different events. You know, I think what Prime Minister Erdogan meant was that there has never been a hatred against Armenians on the part of the Turkish people. On the contrary, Armenians have always had a very high standing that goes all the way back to the Ottoman Empire time. But even today, I mean, there's a growing number of Armenians coming to Turkey, working in Turkey, having very good relationship with their Turkish neighbors and the Turks in Turkey. So, you know, for a genocide, of course, you know that, I mean, there has to be a deliberate act to eradicate a certain group of people based on their ethnicity or faith or whatever. And the Prime Minister meant that, I mean, there has never been such a negative relationship, such an antagonism between Turks and Armenians. Mm-hmm. And today, the fact that, I mean, we see Armenians in increasing numbers coming to Turkey, you know, I mean, working with their Turkish neighbors and the Turkish people in the country shows that, I mean, this is not the case for now. And I think in the future, if we can normalize our relations between Turkey and Armenia, I think both people will even benefit further more than that.
Turkey closed the border with Armenia in 1993, which was actually hostile action against our country. Does Turkey consider Armenia and Armenians as enemies?
No, of course not. In fact, I mean, in Turkey, we don't consider anyone as our enemies. Maybe you will remember, I mean, our foreign minister, Minister Davutoğlu, Ahmet Davutoğlu, who said once that Turkey has only friends and potential friends. Even with those whom we don't have good relations for now, we will do everything possible in order to improve our relationship, in order to make them our friends. So that is our general outlook in our foreign policy. But particularly, of course, we don't see Armenians as our enemies at all. And the reason for the closure of the, you know, I mean, our borders between Turkey and Armenia was, of course, the Azeri-Armenian conflict, the conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia. And actually that the occupation of the Azerbaijani territories by Armenia. But since then we have kept the channels of communication between Turkey and Armenia open. And of course, I mean, in 2009, you remember that, I mean, we have reached to the level where we signed protocols for normalization of our relationship. And those protocols has not only envisaged the establishment of diplomatic relations, but they also foreseen the reopening of borders as well. So, you know, I mean, based on certain requirements and certain things to be done, I think we are very much ready to open the borders, establish diplomatic relations, and normalize our relations in general with Armenia. But we also, you know, I mean, of course, given that in 1993, the conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia was the reason why we had to close our borders with Armenia. We are also trying to contribute to the resolution of the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. We are a member of the Minsk group. We are not the co-chair of this group, but we are a member of the Minsk group. And we are always trying to help the Minsk group to resolve this issue peacefully and sooner rather than later. We are also, of course, in close touch with Azerbaijan, but we are also trying to talk about this issue with Armenia as well, because the resolution of this conflict in our region will certainly open new avenues of cooperation and will help us realize the potential of this region in a much better way.
International relations with Armenia, Turkey constantly brings forward the Karabakh issue and the Khojalu tragedy. Before the events in Khojalu, Armenians were massacred in different settlements of Azerbaijan, Sumgayit, Baku, Kirovabad, Getashen, Mardunashen and Maraga. But Turkey preferred to keep silent about this. What standard does Turkey use to seize which nation has the right to live and which one is to be annihilated?
No, Turkey, in principle, is against any aggression towards innocent people anywhere in the world. There's no doubt about that. And the conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan, of course, has a long history, which I'm not going to go into the details of it. You know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, today, when you look at the region, you see that Azerbaijani territorial integrity is still being violated. Not only Nagorno-Karabakh itself, but 20% of the Azerbaijani proper, these seven regions around Nagorno-Karabakh, is under the occupation of the Armenians. So I think that is something that we need to redress, you know, I mean, through the Minsk group's, you know, I mean, efforts to resolve this issue peacefully. What needs to be done is to accelerate this process and resolve this conflict as soon as possible. Because as I have said in response to your previous question, the resolution of this conflict is definitely going to help us realize the potential in our region. You know, of course, I mean, how Turkey, Georgia, and Azerbaijan are benefiting greatly because of the trilateral cooperation that they enjoy and they are developing among themselves. There is no reason why Armenia should not be a part of this. You know, because, I mean, we have started this trilateral cooperation as a core of a larger regional cooperation. And we definitely want Armenia to be a part of it, contributing and benefiting from such regional cooperation. But in order to do that, I think, first and foremost, we need to resolve the conflicts, be it between Azerbaijan and Armenia, or normalization between Turkey and Armenia. And when we do that, I think this part of the world, the Caucasus, has a great potential for the, you know, I mean, inhabitants of this region, but much more beyond that, given the energy, transport, and economic potential of the countries that the countries hold.
But how do you see the fact that Turkey closed its border with Armenia because of a third country? Also, it has always been declaring that it wants peace and stability in the region.
You know, both Azerbaijan and Armenia are our neighbors. And when we see one country occupying certain parts of the, you know, other country, of course, we cannot just remain, you know, indifferent to that. Of course, and given the special relationship between Turkey and Azerbaijan, of course, we felt the need to react to it. I mean, if you go back to this time, of course, we have done a lot in order to stop this aggression and in order to find a way of dialogue and an agreement between the two countries. But unfortunately, it wasn't the case then. So that's why we decided to close our borders. And, of course, since then, we are trying to help the two countries resolve this conflict among themselves with the help of the international community and the Minsk group. But when it comes to, you know, I mean, whether this is a kind of a precondition for the normalization between Turkey and Armenia, it's not a precondition. But we have to see that, you know, I mean, the resolution of conflicts in this region, you know, has to be seen as part of a larger regional perspective of peace. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to make one piece of this puzzle lasting and sustainable, I think you need to keep an eye on the other aspects of the regional dynamics. So that's why we are saying that, I mean, Turkish-Armenian normalization has to go hand in hand with the resolution of other conflicts. First and foremost, of course, the conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia. And they have to be treated in such a way, you know, positive steps in one or the other has to be mutually reinforcing each other. So that is what we want to do, you know, I mean, the steps towards normalizing relations between Turkey and Armenia has to help the resolution of the conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan. And those positive steps in that front will have to help the normalization between Turkey and Armenia. Only then we can really build that regional perspective of peace where everyone will enjoy the dividends of peace. So, you know, without making it a precondition, we think that it is more practical and more realistic to look in these, you know, two issues in parallel with each other and try to create a mutually reinforcing relationship between the two. That's exactly what we are doing. That's exactly why we are coming up with some creative new formulas and ideas all the time. For example, I was in Yerevan in December together with my minister, Minister Davutoğlu, and we had a long talk with Minister Nalbantyan. We entertained certain ideas how to revitalize the process of normalization between Turkey and Armenia in a way that will be mutually reinforcing with the efforts to resolve the Armenian-Azerbaijani conflict. So I think that's the right way to go. And we will continue to work in that direction.
As we know, in 2009, Armenia and Turkey signed two protocols in Zurich. When will the Turkish parliament ratify the documents?
You know, the protocols are still at the parliament waiting for ratification. There has to be a certain process for that. But we all know why the ratification process has not been completed, I mean, at the time of the signing, you know, in 2009. Because, I mean, shortly after the signing of the protocols, the Armenian Constitutional Court, you know, issued a statement, an avi, sort of, about the protocols, where it has created a completely new context, which is against the word and the spirit of the protocols. It has somewhat dissected the protocols and decoupled certain parts of it from the rest of the integrity of the protocols. So that was the reason why we weren't able to move on with the, you know, ratification process at that time. Furthermore, as I have just explained, we've always said that, I mean, the protocols and the normalization of relations between Turkey and Armenia is part of a larger regional context. and that normalization of Turkish-Armenian relations has to go hand in hand with the resolution of other conflicts in a mutually reinforcing manner. So, you know, this is the reason why we are somewhat delayed in the ratification and in moving ahead with the normalization of relations between Turkey and Armenia. But as I just told, you know, I mean, we are definitely still committed to the normalization, to the ratification of protocols. But for that, we need to work closely with Armenia. We need to talk. We need to see what sort of issues are, you know, keeping us from going in that direction more, you know, I mean, quickly than we would expect it. So I think by talking, by engaging in a meaningful dialogue with Armenia, I think we might make some strides. We might make some progress in that direction. So that's why my minister traveled to Armenia in December, in the margins, and had this bilateral talk with his counterpart, Mr. Dalmadian, in the margins of the Black Sea Economic Cooperation Organization. And I think in the future, if we are able to continue that dialogue, if we are able to understand each other, what sort of issues that we have at hand, I think we will be able to come closer to the ratification and to the normalization of relations between Turkey and Armenia. As I said, I mean, the reason why we weren't able to proceed with the ratification process was first and foremost was the statement, was the avi given by the Constitutional Court, which kind of somewhat divided the protocols into pieces and decoupled certain parts from its entirety. So, of course, I mean, what you were understanding from the protocols and what we understand from the protocols became too different from each other. So that's why we weren't able to go on with ratification, given that sort of differences of interpretation. But again, I mean, with respect to the conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia and Nagorno-Karabakh and its impact on, it's not a precondition. I'm underlining it and I'm repeating it once again, that it is just a practical concern that Turkish-Armenian normalization is part of a larger regional context. In order to make it, a sustainable process, in order to make it contribute to the regional peace and stability, I think we need to keep an eye on issues that are affecting the regional peace. First and foremost, of course, the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. So we're saying that, I mean, we need to create such a dynamic, such a framework, whereby the two issues mutually reinforce, mutually help each other, positively affect each other. One step in one front will, of course, yield positive results in the other. So that is the kind of framework we're trying to create. And for that, we need to work with Armenia, we need to work with Azerbaijan, and that's exactly what we are doing. And we're committed to do that in the future as well.
And my last question. Armenian President Serzh Sargsyan recently invited the Turkish leader to visit Armenia on April 24, 2015, the 100th anniversary of the Armenian genocide. Do you think the Turkish president will accept the invitation?
Next year?
Yes.
I haven't seen that, unfortunately. I will have to see the statement and the proper context of it. President Sargsyan made that statement,
yes.
Right? I haven't, unfortunately, seen that particular statement. So, let me not comment on it before I see the statement. Maybe later on we can talk about it further. But of course, based on our positions, how we look at the events of 1915, I think first and foremost, we need to have a dialogue among ourselves, government to government, historians, people to people, to see how we see that particular part of our common history. And rather than imposing our own memories to each other, we have to work in order to come up with a just common memory. That's the reason why, in fact, Turkey has, long time ago, in fact, I mean, I don't know exactly when, but I think it was in 2006 or 2007, proposed to establish a joint commission of historians to study that particular period in history and to shed light onto this chapter of our common history. But unfortunately, so far, we haven't had a positive response from the Armenian side about that particular proposal. I think that is a must. If we are to agree on, how to interpret our past, we need to get together. We need to open our archives. Turkish side, for example, has opened our archives, in its fullest extent. You know, anybody now, I mean, an Armenian researcher or, you know, I mean, a researcher from anywhere in the world can come to Turkey, can go into our archives, and can look at each and every document from that particular period. So that is the way to go. You know, I mean, Armenia should also open its archives. The third party is, who has documents that can shed light to that particular era, should also do the same. Russia, US, UK, Germany, France, whoever. And then we need to be able to see the facts. We need to establish the facts and then reach a common and just memory without imposing our own memories upon each other. And I think you know, I mean, our Prime Minister's message has also made quite, you know, I mean, an important stress on this particular matter. This, you know, our proposal about joint historians commission, and we expect, of course, and we hope that, I mean, Armenian side will positively respond to that, and then we might start working on this particular matter.
Would you like to add anything?
No, not much really. I mean, it's just that, I mean, I think you know. The Prime Minister's message, I mean, Turkish Prime Minister's message, has to be looked into, you know, very carefully. You know, as I said in the very beginning of our interview, that it is truly of historic importance and nature that the Turkish Prime Minister, for the very first time, addressing Armenian population directly on the issue of the events of 1915. So I think, you know, I mean, rather than seeing it, you know, as a tactical move or this or that, I see many different interpretation and analysis about this message. I think one has to read it carefully without any prejudice, and see what it has in its content. You know, I mean, recognizing the inhumane consequences of 1915. You know, recognizing, of course, the very legitimate right of the Armenians to remember the sufferings of their, you know, I mean, grandfathers or fathers and mothers of that time, you know, and sharing their pain and grief and also expressing condolences. So these are not, you know, unimportant things, you know, coming from the Prime Minister of Turkey and addressing directly to the Armenian population. So I would just humbly, you know, appeal to all my Armenian friends and colleagues to read that message carefully and to see really what it means, what it really tries to get across to the Armenian side. And based on this, I believe we can indeed establish a very, you know, meaningful and a producing dialogue, a promising dialogue, which Turkey is definitely ready to engage in.
Thank you.
Thank you.